Blog Talk Radio.
It's not something that you just dump something on. It's not a big truck. It's a series of tubes.
Hi, we're Elle and Marcy from We Are With The Band.
And you're listening to Indie Interview.
Let's get a drink.
Uh-huh. Hello and welcome. To the September, what's the date?
It's the 8th.
September 8th episode of Indie Interview, your home for all that is hot and streaming in the world of online independent entertainment.
Woo!
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the show. Trying on a new pair of glasses, so we just barely got onto the show in time because I feel like I have... Coke bottles on my face.
It was very interesting to have you turn and look and say, what D is it? And I was like, I don't know, I'll see your eyeballs, and they're forming the letter 8.
I know, and they're not even my proper...
The number...
I've got to take these off, because they're
the
not
eight.
Even
my
proper
glasses.
My prescription glasses are a little off, but these are way off.
Did we knock the headphones off or something? I feel so weird. Like, I can't hear everything appropriately.
Well, it seems like everything might, on our end, be functioning properly, for one.
Oh, well, okay, I'm not knocking it. Woo!
Welcome, everybody, to the show. We've got a great, great show for you guys this week. Before we do anything, we want to welcome Vampire Mob, Broadcast Assassin Jeff to the show, Brendan from Suck and Moan.
Everybody from Data Human.
Everybody from Data Human is in the chat room, I believe. Pete Markowski from...
Pete's in there. Rob's in there. Pop Culture Monster's in there.
Hamilton Kava is in there.
From Vampire Mom.
We want to welcome everybody. Pop Culture Monster, one of our favorite people, Rob Padgett from Vampire Zombies Werewolves.
Uh-huh. Which, again, Joe, I have to say, I've seen 3 articles that have popped up in my alerts recently involving Vampire Mob. And
yes, Vampire Mob getting a ton of publicity is awesome.
One for Hollywood Wasteland that gave it, it was a review. I can't, it started with an A. I can't remember the website. I should find it. More on the sources. But I thought that was another one that popped up today. So congratulations to you guys.
Yeah. And no, these are not the Obama dogs. They are the web series dogs is what they are. And they are excited because Data Human, the lovely ladies behind Data Human are on the show today. And that's why the dogs are so, woo, excited. Because they're happy about that. They're absolutely thrilled. And I have to say, I'm even more thrilled than the dogs because we rewatched all 6 episodes of Data Human today.
Mm-hmm. You could totally make that an interactive series, even in it in between right now. You could have the whole datahuman.com, you know, have people make up fake ads and put, you know,
right?
Dress up as aliens and stuff and do their own sort of like, you know, one of the videos.
The thing that impresses me the most about Data Human is
their costumes.
The costumes and the hair.
Makeup.
And set design.
Mm-hmm.
For a show that I would assume, and we'll ask them about this, is on just as small a budget as the rest of the web series creators we've talked to, it's quite amazing what they were able to accomplish.
Huh.
Similar to next week's guest.
Spell Fury.
Woo! Who have been able to accomplish a lot.
With very little.
And it is really impressive.
I don't even want to answer the question that just popped in the room.
Yeah, we're not
going to
talk about Obama at all. No. We're not going to talk politics at all. It's just been one of them kind of weeks. You know what I mean?
Yay, blooper reel. We need more of them.
And I want to say that, so you guys know, we're also going to do a couple of primetime podcasts coming up. This month as the Primetime Network series come back for their fall season.
Yes, next week is the start of
Because we're
lot
just curious if there's actually going to be anything that we like out of it. I think there's like two series that I'm looking forward to.
Isn't it bad?
The Event and Chase.
We're more likely to give web series more than one episode.
Than we are network.
Than we are network television. If your premiere sucks, I'll catch you at the finale. Like, and that's basically where I'm at. Like, okay. And
seriously.
Toot. I didn't watch any of Grey's Anatomy last year or the year before.
Until
the finale. And if their premiere
that's
sucks,
terrible.
Then I won't watch anything but the finale again. It's horrible. That's just how it is. But with a web series, I'd like, I may not really like it all that much, but I'll watch it till the end.
And seriously, the only returning shows that I'm actually as actively looking forward to is The Good Wife. Oh, and V. The Good Wife and V.
Yes.
Other than that, even Fringe kind of lost me there towards the end of the
Wait,
season.
Wait, you knew what was going to happen. You knew with the big boots. Like, oh, look, Leonard Nimoy, big flesh. Oh, switch.
We saw the switch coming a mile away. But I'm, like, really into V, and I love The Good Wife. I still think, can I just say, I'm still chapped that Julianna Margulies didn't win an Emmy.
You have to let that go. You have to let it go.
Well, I'm also chapped that Bernie Sue wasn't nominated for an Emmy.
Come on, it's Kira Sedgwick. It was her last year. Julianne will get it next year. Whatever.
Whatever. I'm just, whatever. Chapped about it. Whatever.
Well, if you're that chapped about it, remember what I read in the news today about the Emmys receiving rival competition for a new television award show.
That's going to include?
It's actually being produced and built by television, new media executives, and advertisers. And
supposedly going to give, all forms of video a shot. We'll see.
They said they will include all forms of video from web series to mobile app to, all of that. So
I believe it when I see
it. It'll be interesting, and they actually want to be the rival of the Emmys. To
I have,
fresh,
new approach. There's a question that just popped up. Haven, we've seen a little bit of. Warehouse 13, we have not, but it's coming.
It's good.
Rizzoli and Isles, I've seen a little bit of, but I've seen, honestly, I loved Sasha Alexander in NCIS, the first two seasons that she was on.
Uh-huh.
But you know what I think about Rizzoli and Isles? I will watch it if I happen to catch it on.
It's
but
so hard.
I have seen Angie Harmon play this same role.
It's okay.
In
really?
Every series she's been in.
So I will give it to whoever got smart and thought, hey, she a lot of subtext there. People will follow her rabidly, even though she is an extreme Republican.
She likes gays though. You have to watch the clip of her on Chelsea Lately. You have to watch.
She loves it, but extreme Republican is weird. But she's from Dallas, so I'll give her a break. But it's a whole show built on subtext about two women who are very good at subtext, whether they know it or not. Angie Harmon is incredible with subtext.
And even as much as I love, and no, I didn't see the lesbian episode of Rizzoli and Oz.
You mean the first one, or are they in
No, apparently we missed one. Even as much as I used to like Gossip Girl, I've kind of lost a taste for it because I found Misbehave. Is that bad? And they're coming.
No, because to me, I think Gossip Girl's gone on too long, and it's so convoluted with what the novels were.
Okay.
They just need to end it how the novel ended it.
Seriously, and talk about the gayest non-gay show on television with subtext. Gossip Girl is right there. But, I find web series content to be far more engaging, far more intelligent, by and large, than what I'm seeing on network television. Criminal Minds has now pissed me off. And Rune, I will tell you that Angie Harmon supposedly loved the gay. I don't know. Law and Order SVU, when they started messing around with Mariska Hargitay's character, kind of like, I don't know. There's a lot, just web series are, let's get to it. we will be having multiple primetime podcasts coming up that will be on Thursdays or Tuesdays. Or perhaps Sundays. Didn't you say Sundays was a better day to do it? Because usually there isn't any new shows on Sundays that we really like. What we need to do is look at the...
The only thing that's on Sundays is The Blade.
And I like that show.
Unless a couple of new shows or a couple of pre-existing shows have been moved to Sunday because new shows have taken their time slot to do better instead.
Right. What we need to do is sit down and look at the fall schedules and decide that... what night we're going to do these podcasts on.
Joel Bryan is apparently going to be on Criminal Minds.
I never said I was going to stop watching Criminal Minds.
I'm just pissed at
until after AJ Cook's character is gone and Padgett Brewster's character is gone. Then I will still probably watch it for Kirsten. But they're ruining the show. That's all I'm going to say. Getting to what we've seen this week before our guests all show up on the switchboard, let's get to what we saw this week and news and what our picks are, because there's a lot of stuff going on and a lot of stuff we want to talk about. First, let's get to comedies first, shall we, because there's something we want to talk about. The Guild, Episode 8, busted.
He's on the spinoff. Yeah,
and I'm already have an issue with the Criminal Minds spinoff because it's what's causing AJ Cook and Padgett Brewster to
As soon as I saw that little hey, this is the people from LA, I'm like, oh snap, they're gonna try and pull an NCIS, and now we just lost all the people from the core. Lovely.
Mm. But anyway, let's get to it. The Guild, Episode 8, busted as usual. Very, very funny.
Yep.
Sandeep was hilarious in this episode.
I actually feel bad. I don't. Good friend. Accomplished. Woo!
His interaction with Will Wheaton was amazing.
That was hot.
The dog's asleep now. The interaction with the kids. Mommy's at the GameStop.
Mommy's at the GameStop. Everybody hates me for redoing that because it's going to be stuck in your head now. But yes, that was hilarious. It was like, how do you have 300K sitting in your bank? Boy's stuck. Yeah. Really, when you get your children to play
for mommy.
Mm-mm.
And again, with the fan art on the Guild, I just think the Guild is really firing on all cylinders this season. I think it's very funny.
They are, and you know, for all we know, we may only get one more.
Right.
So, rumored.
We saw
not for sure.
The Best Friend this week, episode 3, I think. Episode 2. It's called Stalkers.
Yeah.
And they have a little musical number all about stalkers on that. Very funny. If you haven't seen it, you should. Chad, can you link it up there?
Yeah.
The Best Friend. It's on Coldcast right now. The show is really, they had a little bit of trouble at the end of the musical sequence with their sound. But I think the show is very cute. I think it'll hit its stride eventually.
It's getting there.
But
building.
It's really very cute. What other comedies did we watch this week? I know you watch a lot more. I watched Shane Dawson this week.
Did you really?
I did. She's looking at me.
What?
Like I have apparently lost my mind.
You're in their head.
I did.
I think he has his moments. Overall, he just doesn't fit my demo.
No, I'm seriously...
I can take increments of him and a few others. They, you know, but everybody hits a note perfectly
mm-hmm.
every now and again. So I'll watch it if it's funny. But it's Bunny Hug. Yay.
Did you come
love
back?
That show? It's so I love it. Love it. It's so wrong. And it's so funny because you talk about Shane Dawson. He doesn't fit my demographic, but I'll watch Bunny Hug and somehow that goes into my demographic. I'm not, maybe because I'm twisted. I'm not sure.
I watch Mantine. There you go.
See, I just cannot get into Mantine.
No?
Nope.
Really?
Doesn't fit my demo. For some reason, it just irks me. It's good. I mean, it's well done, but
and here I was going to watch Shane Dawson. He did a thing on Snooki this week. That's all I'm going to say.
Why the fascination?
It was, trust me, the take on it. I'm sorry, I'm not. Why am I talking about Shane Dawson? I don't know, but it's funny. It was funny. His Miley Cyrus thing was really hilarious, too. But
yeah.
Moving on.
Yeah. Yeah. Sisters by Marriage.
Sisters by Marriage is not bad. I don't find it that funny.
Some of it can be funny, but then it just kind of goes over a line.
It's not even because it goes over a line for me.
Really?
I don't know. I've been watching a lot of political parodies and stuff this week.
Uh-huh.
Is that bad?
Nope.
No.
No.
It's not. But
nope.
I listened to podcasts. I listened to New Mediocracy, and there was a shout-out for us in it, which was very cool. And then there's another one after that.
Yeah,
and Craig and Brett do the internet.
Yes.
Always funny. So comedy-wise this week, we don't have a pick. We do not have a comedy of the week this week.
Well, we could technically give it to
the Guild.
The Guild, on a technicality.
It wasn't that outstanding of an episode.
Right, but we gave it to them last week too. I think the week before.
Here's where we need your help, in the Inner Tube audience.
Mer, mer, mer.
Give us some comedies to watch that you think are really funny that stand out above the rest. We've seen Pillow Talk.
But they have
seen Bunny Hug. They have to be something that's new. They have to be something that is currently showing episodes. But give us something to watch that we haven't seen. So we have no comedy of the week this week because nothing really blew us away.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if I was forced to pick one, I don't even know what I would choose. The Guild, I guess. I need more Vampire Mob. I need stuff. I need stuff to watch. I need shows that blow me away. I need shows that make me fall out of my chair laughing. You know, and not video blogs. I love certain episodes of Shane Dawson. I'm finding other things funny. I think Awkward Embraces can be funny. I don't know. There's just nothing really popped out at me this week. Although there was a new episode. Okay, I take that back. There was a new episode of Vampiric. They have a new part of their series. The one that was making fun of the vampire.
Yes. Yeah.
But again, obviously, nothing really jumps out at me. I Hit It With My Ex did have a new one this week.
Mm-hmm. But again, it was good. It was funny in parts, but it wasn't poker face. It wasn't.
We need more Space Hospital. And I know not everybody agrees with us about how that's funny. I would like a season 2 of Data Human.
Yeah.
We're going to ask them about that. Coming up very shortly.
You know what, though? This may change starting November because
there is a trailer this week. This may change starting this month because Dating in the Middle Ages is coming out.
Yes.
And I absolutely cannot wait for that show.
But one that we've been really hoping would actually
get a season two
has gotten a season two,
and they have released their trailer. And can you please put it in the chat?
Can you play it? But... You have to play it.
Pretty the Series.
I'm so excited for this season, too. You have no idea. I want them
Pretty
on the show.
Series. You know what? If I had to pick a comedy of the week this week, it would be the trailer.
It would be the trailer for Pretty the Series.
From Pretty the Series. I'm going to play it right now. Here we go. 33 greatest seconds.
My name is Lily. I am 6 years old. I sing, I dance, I dazzle. I competed in 19 pageants this year so far, and I have won all of them.
Seriously, if you really...
I have a unicorn. His name is Gumdrop.
Best song ever.
Honestly, the best concept, because it's child pageants, and I know like half of you just went, oh my God, they're crazy. No. It's a 5-year-old played by 30-something Stacey McQueen. If you have never seen Stacey McQueen, go to StaceyMcQueen.com. She's a very good friend of Kirsten Vanjanest. Her and Kirsten have done a stage show together called Vanjanest McQueen.
Kirsten's going to be in, from what I understand, season 2 of Pretty Good.
Yes, exactly. So, you know what would be interesting is seeing Stacey McQueen on Vampire Mom.
Right? You guys need to get
that would be
on
just
Vampire
have her be some weird batshit vampire.
But anyway, okay, so there's our comedy of the week, the trailer for Pretty the Series season 2.
Oh, okay.
Really, it is. It just.
It's really bad when a trailer makes it.
So let's get through our dramas really quick because I believe we have our guests are all on the switchboard and ready to go, and they're all in the chat room as well. And I have stuff to talk about. Data Human, a lot to talk about. The stuff that I want to talk about this week. Black Box TV did not have a new episode this week. I'm very frustrated by that because I'm completely hooked on Black Box TV, and I love it. Misbehave is getting closer and closer to their season finale, and I absolutely cannot wait. If I haven't talked about Misbehave's opening credits before, then I have been remiss, because I will say that they have very, very good opening credits that I think stand out and hold their own with anything from Gossip Girl to Vampire Diaries to Pretty Little Liars.
Uh-huh.
I can't stand the character of Tasha. Still.
Oh.
Don't like her at all.
She's so one of those, just, she's one of those bitches from high school. That's really the only way that you can put it.
I love the way they hid the dad's face, because we know that the adult characters really are not going to factor in.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It was a very good episode. It drew me back in.
Yeah, it was even an interesting twist in that I like the way they're even dealing with the gay character, because usually mm-hmm. you see lesbians who have to sleep with men to figure out their, you know, and cheat. But this is a gay guy who's in a relationship with, you know, his boyfriend, and his sister's even like, you know, what about Jordan? And he's going to sleep with, unfortunately, the snotty girl in order to find out if he's actually gay. I hope, really, though, that he is, because I like him as a little gay boy.
But I thought that was a very interesting non-stereotype.
It is, and we're going to have Misbehave on the show again in a couple of weeks to talk.
On the 22nd.
On the 22nd, we're having Misbehave on to talk about season two, because they are about to start filming season two. It is a very slick show. They even managed to make Riley likable for me, which I didn't think was going to happen, and they did. So kudos to Misbehave. First Day, which is a branded series, being done by the people, by some of the people who brought you Gossip Girl and Pretty Little Liars and Vampire Diaries. And it is co-branded, is branded with Kmart, was actually well shot, as I expect most branded entertainment series to be. I got into it more as the show progressed, and then before it was over, got really angry and disappointed because it was all about a guy. I was kind of hoping that this show, and it may still be, and I will give it more chances than just the one episode.
It's Groundhog Day meets the first day of school.
Groundhog Day meets Gossip Girl.
With the premise being first day of
the first day of school.
But, yeah.
But really about a guy, really?
It's not even
really
about a guy.
It's
about being kissed by the guy.
Right.
And it would be great if the series, if that's where it's, if it has a shallow start, and I'll say it's a shallow start, if it has a shallow start and eventually progresses into this, obviously, high school teenage girl coming into herself, becoming self-aware, getting, you know, a higher sense of self-esteem and personality, independence, and kind of that, where she doesn't necessarily need, that her whole life should not be based upon getting the guy to kiss her at the end of it, I'm okay with that. Do I think that's going to happen? No. Not in the slightest.
I have not watched the debut of Hilda. Jeff, it's usually hard for me to watch new stuff that comes out on the same day of the show. So we might include it in next week's review. Watched a new horror series called Blackout. Just no. The sound took me right out of it. I can't even know. But the trailer for Vampire Mistress looks good.
Ooh, and the other two that you were watching, that we watched together, and we're like, oh, God, what was...
Ooh, I want to say that the footage, the found or leftover documentary footage that was thrown up for Asylum the Series, extremely scary and impressive. If this is even an indication of what Asylum is going to be like, then I can't wait.
Chat?
Yeah, I only saw the second one. I heard the first one and watched you jump halfway across the room at the end of it, and then watched the second portion. And there was such... It started out really good and really trying to feel good, and then by the end of it, you were like, "And I'm dead. I'm gonna die. If I'm the person behind the camera, I am dead. I'm just at the end of it."
Really, it's very impressive. And Asylum the Series is one of the ones that we are very much looking forward to. That being said,
Oh, Rune, if you're looking for new horror, try MTV's Savage County. Sort of text.
And I would agree with Jeff that Scott is totally badass. There were other things. There was actually a branded web series that Robert Townsend is doing, which just reminds me, again, how much I want Diary of a Single Mom back.
Mm-hmm.
But our drama pick of the week.
I'm working with Gillette.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Our drama pick of the week is not going to be for everybody.
No. It's hard for...
It was hard for me to watch.
Yeah.
It's on Coldcast, although you can see episode 2 on their website. It is called World Full of Nothing.
Mm-hmm.
It is extremely dark, but it is well acted, well written, and beautifully shot. It is certainly not for everyone. It is as tongue-in-cheek and clever as it is dark. And it reminds me, especially the shot in the opening credits, reminds me very much of American Beauty.
Yep.
And Rune, if you haven't seen any decent holy shit moments, that one will give it to you. And again, I went away from Coldcast after seeing episode 1, and you're funny, Jeff, after seeing episode 1 and watched episode 2 on their own website.
Yes.
And I will have you know, Jeff, that I found Blackout and Vampire Mistress and First Day and Asylum and all those other stuff on other platforms besides Coldcast. But
we read, too.
World Full of Nothing is really, really good.
Yes, very dark. And yet still has an element of tongue-in-cheek.
Yeah,
it's
got some cleverness to it. That,
but it is still so poignant for what happens with trends
mm-hmm.
and copycat behavior
mm-hmm.
and people wanting to be heard.
Herd mentality.
Especially adolescents, teenagers, and young adults, you know, where your only major voice, where you have your sounding board and nobody can challenge you or say anything else, is online. If you want to let it out, let it out. And you can, on YouTube, anonymously. Nobody knows where you are or where you live and or who you are unless you say so.
Right. And I will say this, because Jeff is here, I will say that I'm so excited for the temple, I don't know what to do. I can't recap it enough for myself. And I have been recapping and recapping and recapping, getting all caught up, and now what? I'm waiting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The weight of the web.
Yes, I can't wait. And I can't wait to see what Jeff's got up his sleeve. He keeps teasing us about what he's got up his sleeve. It's driving me crazy. Because I need some good comedy, guys. Come on now.
And those of you that have comedies, put some new episodes out.
Please get some good comedies out there. World Full of Nothing is our drama of the week. But I want to get to our guests, and we'll get to the news after we're done grilling our
lovely ladies.
The lovely ladies, and having some fun with them. And talking about interspecies dating, because that's what it's all about.
That's what it's about today on Indie Inner Tube.
Interspecies dating. This is what's very, very important.
Because human men just want to breed.
Right? Because that's the problem.
To repopulate the planet.
Did we lose Kimberly? Is Kimberly not in the chat room? I'm looking at...
What?
I'm looking at Kimberly. Are you
She's
actually?
In the chat room.
Yeah, is she on the switchboard? Has she called in? Is she there?
I don't know. We're hoping.
Well, I'm looking at the switchboard, and there's different numbers on there.
Same
what,
area code? No. Yes.
Yeah, I'm missing a couple of people.
That's what it's all about. Woo! Not the hokey pokey. It's interspecies dating.
Hopefully, this is Kimberly Simpson. Kimberly,
Hello?
Is that you? Hello?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yep, I can hear you. I just wanted to make sure I got the right person.
Yep, this is Kimberly. I had to call in and call back out. I'm sorry.
Oh, okay. That's okay. This is Kimberly Simpson, producer, one of the producers for Date to Human.
Yes, hello. Thank you so much for having us on.
Oh, we're thrilled. And I think right here we have Anne Griffin, who is the star, plays Allie on Data Human.
Yes, hello. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm great, thank you.
And I think who we're waiting for still is Joy, who has not come onto the switchboard yet that I can see.
But she's in the room.
She's in the
chat room,
I know.
Mm-hmm. She's Data Human 2159. Not sure where we got those numbers, but all right.
The year it takes place.
Wow, that's horrible. No, I was laughing my ass off. I can't be bothered with your details. I'm waiting for the next dude that she's coming
upon. We were seriously on a Data Human marathon today. We watched all six episodes and just finished up before the show started.
I love it.
Because the show is funny.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you
but
so much.
But before I ask this first question, I need to make sure that Joy is here because...
Yeah, we need Miss Joy.
We need Miss Joy, and I don't...
She's writing to me online. I don't know where she is. Maybe she'll tell me where she is.
Oh, she's wondering if someone is calling her or if she's calling in.
Oh,
why?
Joy.
So,
let me call her number. Hold on. I'm going to put it on mute. Hold on a second, guys.
Oh, Mr. Fancy, we get everything.
Anne, are you still with us?
I'm still with you, yes.
Okay, I have a question for you. Did you have a lot of fun, and was it difficult not to laugh? What does the blooper reel look like?
It was so difficult not to laugh because all of the men who played my dates, they're all comedians, and they do a lot of improv, and they do a lot of stand-up. So there are so many takes where I would start laughing, and there's even one take that's in there, and you can see that I kind of, like, rush and turn my back and get off camera as fast as I can because I couldn't hold it together, especially with Alex Staggs, who plays Xenon. I couldn't keep it together.
That was my favorite set of dates. Favorite date. It was like episode 3, wasn't it?
It was episode 3.
I loved that.
He's so funny. He's so creative, and he just created such a bizarre character. I love it.
It was the way that he laughed. And then
the first time I heard that laugh.
That and the whole overshare part of the date, you know, as you're walking up to the door at the end, he's like, and then I flipped her over.
Yeah.
Wow. Thanks for that.
Like, that's not right, and yet I'm killing myself laughing over it.
I just love it when your roommate comes in with the towel. It's like, oh, look who got kissed. Like,
yeah.
I think we have by now. Joy, are you with us now?
Yes, I am. I am a very intelligent director who knows how to dial phones.
Those numbers are your heart.
They are.
That's good. Say that again.
That's okay. You don't need to know how to dial a phone.
Okay, you've been people for that.
You have people for that. That's exactly it.
I do.
No, go ahead. Are we all still here?
I'm here. Hello?
Okay, we're all still here. This is good. So what I want to know from you, Joy, is where did the idea for this show come from?
That's a wonderful question. I actually we're on Babblegum, so I've been writing and creating for quite some time, and I went, you know, a friend of mine just got promoted over there, and I was like, yes, an opportunity, let's see. So I go over there. I said, what are you guys looking for? And she said, lady topics. And I was like, okay. And then she was like, sci-fi. And I was like, I love sci-fi. So maybe I can do a lady topic sci-fi. So I write with a group of guys. They call themselves Funbox Comedy. And I went to them and I said, let's do some sort of fun lady sci-fi. And so we pitched like a writer's room. We pitched a bunch of ideas. And we came up with 10, and then we narrowed it down to 3, and then we sent them over to Babblegum. Amber J. Lawson is the executive producer over there. And mm-hmm. we you know, we just said, which one do you like? And she's like, I love Dana Hammond. So we said, okay. So we went and came up with, you know, like 20 episode ideas and then narrowed it down to 6 for the first episodes.
So is there going to be a season 2? Because that was a really wrong way to end it for everybody.
I love cliffhangers. I always say leave them wanting more if you can. There will be a season 2, but the rumor, the hope is that the season 2 might actually be on television, or season 1. So we've had a little bit of interest right now, so we're just kind of like fielding out, some people who are saying, hey, this would make a neat television show. So that's, you know, just kind of meeting people right now. And, you know, it's a challenge because it's like you could sell an idea and then it could get made or it could not get made, or you could, you know, take the money again and really, really dive in and really do some more creative, your own kind of creative vision kind of on the internet level, which is why we do why I did it. It's because it's an opportunity to really do something that you have a little bit of control over. Well, actually a lot.
Right.
Bubblegum gave us a lot of creative control. So, you know, hopefully season 2 will either come in the spring or, if we could be so lucky, then maybe it'll be, maybe it'll shift to a different media format in the form of television. We shall see.
It would be great. It would actually be really funny on Comedy Central.
Mm-hmm. Oh, thank you. We'll call them up right
adult
now.
Man. Yeah, it's like made for adults.
Oh, is it? Oh, good. Yeah, it'd be fun because we could get raunchier, we could get, you know, or not, but I can't, you know, it's like we already know what happens in episode 8, so I'm excited to do, you know, excuse me, episode 7. I'm excited to do episode 7 because we know what happens after the cocoon. We're just waiting.
Yeah, I want to know what happens after the cocoon. I want to know what her mom's going to say.
Well, the truth of the matter is we have one or two or three things that could happen after the cocoon. And they all have to do with the Buzz like alien Leo sticking around for a little while. So her mom will probably be pretty pissed.
You had such a good cast, and Anne was so perfect as Allie. Were you ever worried about any of you? Were you ever worried about how the chemistry was going to work once you started putting people in costumes, or did the comedy just come naturally?
You know, so lucky. I just feel like, we actually kind of did a traditional when we went past, you know, we found Anne, and then when we were looking for our Ruthie, Brooke Lyons, we actually put Anne in the room I treated it as special as you would a television show that was worth a lot of, you know, pain and money, and just made sure the two of them got along, and it turns out Anne, that you guys went to high school or college together?
We went to high
Get
school.
Out.
Yeah, and I hadn't seen her since I graduated, and I didn't even know she lived in Los Angeles, and then there she was. It was pretty funny.
You guys looked like it was perfect, but it really was very much like watching two best friends.
Yeah, well, Brooke is really wonderful. She's a really talented actress, and she's so much fun to work with, so I was really lucky, and plus, seeing her in that whole get-up and the suit and the makeup and everything, it was so funny, and it was so much fun.
She's hilarious. I love them together. Sorry.
Oh, no, that's okay. Before we start talking about costumes and makeup, because that's one of the things we want to talk about, it's amazing on such a small budget. I want to know how you all came together to work on this project. Was it Babblegum that put you all together, or did you guys come together... You know, Joy and Kimberly with Lauren, how did that all work? And did you know Anne ahead of time?
You have such good questions. It started off with the writers and the creators, as it, you know, usually often does with the writing. And Kimberly, how did we meet?
We had both produced, I produced something for AFI has a directing workshop for women, and Joy was in the workshop the year prior to the year I produced something. So we sort of had an overlapping circle of people, and I knew her producer, and so we had kind of met at a bunch of different functions, and Joy produced an amazing short film called 18 that I just fell in love with, and kind of we kept in touch, and I knew I wanted to work with her, and so, you know, I think she had asked people about me, and we kind of had a meeting and just sat and talked, and we're like, all right, we're doing this, so.
And I had done another a web pilot called The Morning After, which is right now we're actually pitching it around. It's like a Sex and the City for 20-year-olds, and Anne came to audition for it, and I fell in love with her, seriously. I was like, this girl, this is hilarious, because she's auditioning for, like, a comedy on a web series, and I'm in my head, I'm like, this girl is, like, Boys Don't Cry talented. Like, she is so amazing. She's just, her acting is just so great. It's just like, hey, can you, yeah, done. And you're just like, what? She had been cast in that, and then oddly enough, Brooke Lyons replaced her because Anne had had to be somewhere else during the shoot, and so Brooke had, you know, her role. And then when I came to Data Human, I was kind of obsessed with both of them already. And it's fun because, like, we went through the whole casting process, but in my head, I kind of already knew, you know, I wanted Brooke to be in it, and I knew Anne, but I didn't know who was going to be who or what. And so I had, you know, there was like 3 or 4 or 5 really talented actresses that I know, and I just felt that Anne and Brooke were the best suited for this.
And how did you cast the guys to play the alien dates?
You know,
was that difficult? Did you find guys who are like, I'm totally there. This whole concept is hilarious, and I'm right there.
It was actually, we were very fortunate. The city is crawling with immensely talented comedic actors that are men specifically. There's just more male comedic actors, generally speaking, than there are women. And we actually had pretty, it was fairly easy. I mean, Lauren Schnipper, who's one of the other producers, recommended some people. Kimberly threw some people in the mix. I even think, like, you know, Anne and the other writers and myself, we just kind of all knew people, and it just kind of worked out. I mean, there's so many, like, we actually had people audition, but we would have been just as safe if we had just been like, okay, you, because it came from, like, Alex Staggs came from the Groundlings, and Chad, he played the blue guy that envelops Allie's face. And then we had Chad Foglin, who's a stand-up comic that we know from the community, and he just blew me away because I had never really seen him do too much acting. I knew he was a really funny stand-up. And then, of course, Brandon Thornberger, who plays the adorable, I think very handsome bug alien, Leo.
Very cute bug alien.
I'm a little in love with the bug alien. I was like, what is going on? I love him.
Joe Wilson from Vampire Mob wants to know how you cast a mom.
Oh, that was a good one. You know, Kathy Shambly came to us through Lauren Schnipper, who was like, you got to see this woman. She was one of the founders of the Groundlings. And she is...
Really?
So, yeah, she's phenomenal, and she's a really wonderful improvisational actress, too, and just brought so much love and, like, okay, what do you guys want to do? Okay, let's do that. What do you guys, okay, this is what we're going to do, and then just made everything even funnier, and her fun, like, Cruella de Vil type, evil but funny. I just really adore her.
Yeah, it was perfect timing, too, because Lauren approached her, and she had said that she had wanted to do a new media project, and she'd sort of been looking for something. So it was just a perfect match.
That is a perfect match. And I think that when you wrote that mom set her up with the human guy made up to look like an alien, I loved that. When his eyeballs came off and right in the line.
That's my dad's favorite episode.
Oh, is it really?
Yeah, he's so funny. You know the one where you think I thought the makeup wasn't that good on that one, and then I realized why it was that. Okay.
I think our favorite episode of Chad and I together is episode 3. It is the Xenon episode.
Yeah.
Xenon's great.
And then the big, like, you know, Yeti in the I was thinking he's there. I just.
that whole, everybody was firing on all cylinders in that episode. The whole episode was a laugh riot from beginning to end.
Oh, thank you. Here, you know what, an interesting little piece of trivia on that episode is it's the first day that we weren't, we shot this whole episode, we shot in my house, crazily enough, and it's like an old 20s antique-y looking, like, duplex apartment type situation, and our production designer mm-hmm. made it look completely different, and it rained the entire shoot. And it was nice because the gallery was, I feel like it really opened up for us when we went to the gallery because we weren't all crammed inside my tiny, hot living room where it was completely humid. So it was nice to be kind of like in this big open space and have a lot of room to move around. And I really feel like Alex and Anne, like, really had tons of great chemistry and just kind of, like, goofed off in that one. And it makes it really fun and relaxing for the audience.
How much of the interaction between you, Anne, and the other actors was ad-libbed and how much stuck strictly to the scripted content?
I think that on their part, I think they did a lot of ad-libbing. I think I mostly stuck to the script in those scenes because I think a lot of those scenes, too, it really showcases them and they're the ones who are being really crazy and wild. I mean, there were little things thrown in here and there, but they're so skilled at improv that, you know, Joy is so fun to work with where she'll just say, you know, all right, let's do what's written. So we'll do one take where it's written, and then she'll let us, you know, do whatever we want for a take. Or, you know, she'll take certain moments out of a scene and just say, you know, let's do this one over and over again and try whatever you want. So really we had so much freedom, but I think with each scene we always did what was written and then other stuff would be thrown in. And so I think what you see is kind of a combination of it all.
That was a really good answer. So then you, Joy, were not opposed to a lot of ad-lib coming into this?
Oh, no, I love it. I come from an improv background and a stand-up comedy background, and nothing makes me happier than someone who wants to add something. It just, for me, I'm the type of director that's like, as long as you're adding to, you know, you're one-upping what's already there, go for it. If that's who you are and what you're about and what you want to bring to it, I'm like, game on. It's awesome.
That, and I don't think actors probably can't imagine it's something better than that.
Well, sorry, go ahead, Anne.
Oh, no, I was just going to say definitely not. I mean, I said this to Joy before that I felt so lucky to have someone there who, because Joy is an actor as well, so she really understands where I'm coming from and where the other actors are coming from, and she knows that we like to try a million different things and that we need as many takes as we need, and so she really allowed us to explore as much as we needed to explore. So it was as cramped as we may have been in the house, I had a fantastic time, and I feel like I got to try everything I wanted to try. So I feel very lucky to have been a part of it.
And you know what? Your passion, all of the passion and enjoyment that you all have on the set shows in the product, in the end result.
Thank you. That's something I always try to bring to a project is, you know, the old cliche is that we're not curing cancer. We're very lucky to be able to be artists and to be creating something for somebody else's enjoyment, you know?
Now, what I'd like to know is how you were able to accomplish the makeup and costuming and set design that you were on a web series limited budget.
Kim, do you want to talk about that?
It's called the sweatshop. No, I'm just kidding. We were very lucky that just through some of our connections, I mean, I feel like the biggest thing to tackle first off was the makeup. That was like one of our biggest but exciting challenges. Our DP had a girlfriend that was had just graduated makeup school, and so she introduced us to all of her classmates, and we just met this group of amazing makeup artists that could do, I mean, anything we asked. We would be like, you know, in the Xenon episode where his tongue comes out and takes the chicken wing. Like, we were like, we would like a tongue to come out and grab it and come, you know, and she just on the fly, like, figured out how to do it. We had an amazing makeup team. And then the same thing, Chloe was our costume designer. She was amazing, and she teaches at a school in Long Beach, and she just got all of her students to work on the project for the experience. And then our Roxy Marignan was our amazing production designer. She comes from the music video world and was used to having huge budgets, but she's just a passionate artist and read the script and was really excited to bring it to life and, like, made Joy's 1920s apartment work as the future and found us a place to have our spaceship. And just everybody was just really on board, and just it was blood, sweat, and tears, and they made it work. It was awesome to be a part of.
It really is, because the costumes, right from, you know, the cat costume to the what Shab lovingly refers to as the Yeti, is so good and so above what you would expect for a web series. And I don't mean that in any derogatory way about web series, obviously, because we love them. But it just kind of sets the bar for what costuming and makeup can do on a web series. And it was amazing to watch. And we would watch the episodes and be like, how did they can't have that much money.
I was going to say, in as much as we all want to win Webbies and all that good stuff, we need our costume designer to win a Webby for best costume, which doesn't even exist, by the way, because she was like
really?
MacGyver. I don't think it exists for costume. I think
there's
for
a streaming for costume. I'm not sure.
There might be a stream.
But she would go to the Salvation Army and pull something and then, like, pull something else and come back, and it would be, like, the Xenon thing with, like, something cut out of the middle. And it would just, like, she's a mad genius, like, amazing.
Well, here's my other favorite thing about Chloe. And if anybody is listening to this, you know, right now who needs a costume designer, they should hire her in a heartbeat because she...
Yeah, contact us for her information. She's brilliant.
Yes. She couldn't be more passionate. I want to carry her story with me for the rest of my career.
Absolutely.
She actually drew designs and sewed from scratch, like, four or five of the costumes. Like, who does that on a web series? And it's just, I guess, one of those things where you luck out, where she's from Korea. She's worked a lot over there, and, you know, she's kind of making a splash in America now, doing her best to kind of get her name out there and all this. And that's just the way she knew how to do it. She went to school at USC for her graduate degree, and that's what you do. You just, you know, it's like old-fashioned, old-time costuming. You know, you just make the costumes. You don't buy them. You make them. And I was just like, you're making this? And I think that's part of what made some of the costumes so unique and interesting, is that they were actually handmade, homemade.
This is right up your alley, Shad.
Yeah. Because it's in my brain. Figure out how
Chad to is our resident theater girl.
The Wampa Yeti costume alien guy that made him be that for Halloween.
Well, she came from the theater world as well, Chloe did. So
there you go.
I have to say, too, that the day that I went to the costume fitting, that was the best costume fitting I've ever been to. Because I tried on everything I wore in the series, but I actually tried on probably about 20 other costumes as well that were all absolutely hysterical and crazy. And it was just so much fun. And I also felt really special because I got to watch Chloe work, and she's just so talented, and she was so quick with everything. And it was fun to watch her teach her students as well. She's really a genius.
Now, how did you guys come up with the ideas for the aliens? I'm speaking, of course, specifically of the Kray.
Of the crab, okay.
Because that was so very wrong, I just want to say.
I use my real picture, I get offers. I'm like, yeah, because you look like a lobster. I'm sure the humans want to eat you.
Well, this is a really great opportunity to give a shout-out to the other three writers who actually created the show with me. And they are Paul Malowitz, Willie Weisbaum, and Matt Arquet. And they are funboxcomedy.com, and they're all, you know, they're in their late 20s. They're all in their own right, really funny writers, stand-up comics, and sketch performers. And they've kind of come together for the past 4 or 5 years to create work, and they have a ton of, like, little mini unknown web series on their own website. And, you know, when we were coming up with Aliens, like, here's the hilarious part is I do love sci-fi, but just multiply that by, like, 1,000, and you've got, like, these three sci-fi dorks just, like, sitting across from me, like, in a writer's room. And so I said, let's get some pictures of some aliens, guys. Let's all brainstorm. So I'm thinking they're going to, like, you know, search some, you know, sci-fi websites or pull up Star Wars or Star Trek or something. But instead, especially Matt, who I adore, he literally sends me, like, 20, 30 images of underwater sea creatures, okay, that I've never before heard of, didn't know existed, nothing. And, I mean, and then they just got, everybody got so excited. Okay, this is what we're going to do. We're going to make it look like this and that and the other thing and so on and so forth. And so Matt actually was the inspiration for the crab episode. He was like, okay, guys, I'm going out on a limb here. He's not going to be a human alien, but what do you think about this? And, you know, I really think it turned out to be one of our best episodes.
It was. And then the claw coming off was just priceless.
The craft doctor.
See, there's some lines in the show that you're just like, what? And I'm laughing, and I'm like, but why am I laughing? I don't even know what that means.
But, the guys are really good at that, too. That's one of our favorite things is to go back to the scripts and just, and that's such a nice compliment because that's one of the things we love to do is kind of like, what is a crab doctor? Who knows? Whatever. Just put it in there.
The little details was one of the things I fell in love with and was so excited to work on this project because they're just intelligent, insane geniuses.
It was the little details. It was like watching Brooke's character with the cat scratching post on her lap. Perfect. Love that.
Those are my
our
favorite
cats
things.
Our cats
are just
doing that to people. We have, you know, four cats in our house. We did. We have three of them now. And she really got into the mind of a cat. And I know that sounds weird, but she did.
Heaven forbid there's any catnip ever in an episode.
That's a great idea. Of course there will be. Yes, yes, yes.
There needs to be catnip.
Why are you rubbing all over the floor?
Catnip. I mean, it's like, what was it? What was she saying? I can't even remember what was said to her that made it respond. And you're laying, how long have you been laying on the floor licking yourself?
Oh, yeah.
She's such an elegant cat, too.
Huh?
I said she's such an elegant cat, too.
She's a very elegant cat.
She's sexy and elegant and funny. She's all that.
It was just their banter was very, very funny. Every time they were on screen together, I just found it very believable. And it was those little moments like the cat scratching post and her being, you know, stretching around on the floor, cleaning herself because she had a date. Very fun.
I think in the we're working on a a pilot script, and I think in the pilot script, in the bathrooms in the future, there's kitty litter door. Like, there's a door where there's just kitty litter inside of it, like in a public restroom.
Well, of course there would need to be.
Because there's that whole race of cat people. It's silly. And, you know, obviously we would never show her peeing. You just hear it. And then when she comes outside the door, she just, you know how cats do when they scratch their feet when they're done? Like they're mad at their poop or something like that. That's something funny.
So they, like, flick something off. Is that kitty litter?
I don't know
what you're saying.
And you're
I don't know.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, like when they're angry at their food or something? That's a...
Exactly, or they try to cover it up because they think somebody might find it.
Yes, exactly, yeah. Exactly.
This is a very female-heavy production. You've got a lot of women involved behind the scenes, in front of the camera. You've got Babblegum, which is very much smart comedy, women-centric or women-centered a lot of times. Did you realize that going in that it was going to be that way, or did you feel any extra pressure because it was that way? I know there's a lot of interesting discussions online happening right now about whether or not, you know, equality for women has arrived or whatever. I don't want to become part of that discussion. But I do think it's interesting when you see
a production that's geared towards women, and it's made by women for women, and it's out there because there are just more men in the space. So were you aware of that when you were doing this at all?
Well, you know, for me, I do love to write for female leads, just because, you know, you write what you know. There's probably a tad about me, you know, the tinge about me that's, you know, understands and knows that there aren't as many female leads. And if you can make a strong, what I call every woman, then men and women can relate to her. So definitely knew going in that what we wanted to do was create sci-fi that was kind of more of an introduction to the masses, as opposed to just the people that, say, watch the Sci-Fi Network or, you know, the niche audiences that watch The Guild or something like this. We really wanted to kind of open it up. And then, you know, kind of joke around that, you know, Captain Kirk gets to sleep with all these hot female aliens. Why can't, you know, Allie sleep with all the hot male aliens? Like, where are they? Type thing. And as far as, like, the putting the production together, you know, I think that just kind of all comes together. I don't necessarily need to hire a man over a woman, but, you know, I mean, like, we did have a lot of women on this project, but one thing I am cognizant of from the creative standpoint is, you know, if I'm going to write sci-fi, I'm either going to research it, know it, or have someone on my writing team that does. So I feel like a lot of what the guys brought to it were their knowledge of sci-fi, which is greater than mine. I mean, I have kind of more of an apocalyptic sense of sci-fi, and they have kind of more of the Star Trek, Starship Troopers type. And so, you know, I liked the balance there, but I thought it was amazing. So all of a sudden you look up, and it is kind of neat that all the producers are women, the directors are women, the two leads are women. And it's, you know, it is kind of interesting and exciting, but it's not necessarily because someone is a man or a woman. It's just, you know, it turned out that way.
It's interesting and exciting when it ends up that way organically and not because you had to sit there and think about it. I think that's what I meant to get to, and you just answered that perfectly, in that it was organic. You didn't set out to have only women producers, and you didn't set out to have, you know, all of this stuff. It just happened organically. You got the best people for the job for this particular project, and it worked out.
Yeah,
that's cool.
Yeah, I'd like to think, you know, I do like to think that is the case, although I do feel like sometimes for me personally, it's always the right person, but sometimes for me personally, I might lean towards having, if I'm doing something very feminine, I might lean towards having a male editor, just because it helps balance my view of the world with, like, a man's view of the world. So we did also have a male editor, so... But not necessarily.
That's interesting, you know, because I agree with you. I think that men and women do most definitely view the world differently.
Sure, of course. Yes, yes. And it's neither here nor there. Say again?
No, you're absolutely right. It doesn't really matter. It's nice to have that balance, because then you will appeal to the masses across the board. And I think Data Human does appeal to both men and women for just that reason.
Yeah, and thank you. I appreciate you saying that, too, because I think that it does. I think it's, at first, we really, I do feel like we've opened it up to more women and, you know, women to kind of, you know, join us in the sci-fi world, so to speak, or whatever. But I think the guys, because they kind of come from that world, they're on board immediately, and they have fun. And we're on several different websites, and we'll have guys just geek out and be like, the bug alien would probably kill her with his bug fluid or whatever, and so, no, they wouldn't, you know, whatever. Like, girls won't do that. Maybe girls will do that, I don't know, but that's what I love about bye-bye geeks.
No.
Well, you know, there is a difference in the mentality, in that I don't find, and pardon my French, dick jokes always funny, but the ones in Data Human, the continuing dick joke, was hilarious.
Oh, good.
Good.
Or like, yay, dick joke, woo!
You know, but and I don't know why I found it continuously funny. Maybe it's just because it wasn't overt and it wasn't in your face and it wasn't a locker room style humor, but it was still, at its most base, a dick joke, right? But
correct.
It was funny. Where did that come from? Thought of that ongoing
kind of.
Because,
again,
knows?
I sort of got jacked in the second or third time that he shows himself, and she's like, see, even he gets it. So where did that come? Who came up with that running joke?
Oh, who knows? It's probably, I think it's also one of those fantastic writer rooms discussions where people are like, well, five dick jokes is too many. Well, how about four? No, four's too many. Two? No, three. Let's do two. No, three is fun. Can I win every episode? You know, it's like one of those things. I honestly think we did have a conversation about it, and I think it was like, you know, that's where, you know, it's just, it's also, to me, if you're going to do a dick joke, you might as well do a very enormous one. Like, people always comment on the size of the penis, you know. And then some people even go, how did you get a penis to get erect like that? And I'm like, it's CG. It's fine. Everything's fine. really not that big or menacing. Like, and we didn't, like, make one so that we could CG it out. So, but, you know. Or
we
whatever.
Had a Yeti fluffer.
Yes. We did. Very important.
On set two, we need the Wampa fluffer. Set two.
The Yeti fluffer. Kimberly, you're my new favorite. I love you.
That was awesome. That was awesome. We should do that a lot now. I can see that coming. Every time we need to change the subject on this show, it's always going to be like, can we get the Yeti fluffer in here?
Oing, 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 oing. Oh, can I give a shout-out to one other person, by the way?
Please.
Joachim Horsley, who we call Yo for short, is our composer. And I just have to say, too, that I met him, I saw his webpage, and I was just like, are you kidding me? This guy wants to work on our project? Like, he's done so much. He did all the music for the Onion web series, and he's done, you know, a couple of independent films. And I was just so thrilled to meet him, and we just had a blast. He would sit there, and he would compose so quickly and so well. I just was so impressed. And in the theme song, I just couldn't get it out of my head. And I just, you know, I have to say he's also a very special part of the team. And if and or when we sell it to TV, I really pray that we'll take as many people with us as possible. So we'll keep you posted on that if that happens for us.
Please do.
And he also did our sound design. And he's just one of the all-around most patient, amazing, flexible people ever.
Yeah.
You're like, you can turn this around in a day, right?
Sure.
I mean,
yeah.
It's hilarious. It's like, you can fly, right, yo? Awesome. All right.
Exactly.
Now what you need are gay characters.
Yes, I'm excited about that.
You have to create either gay or lesbian character on Dating
No,
Human.
Definitely. We have a couple. Joy has a couple ideas, so.
She has to find, like, it has to be one that's sort of, like, amphibious and can change its sex at random. And does it, like, throughout the whole day.
Like, wait, say that again? Say the last part?
Well, they have to change their sex at random, like, throughout the whole day. Like, and then they'll be eating, and then suddenly, what's going on?
And, like, change its gender throughout the day.
Oh, my God, I love it. Like the fish, yeah.
Yeah, because there's certain fish and certain frogs that do that. They can
totally, I love it.
Have a cat.
Oh, that's so
and it's funny because you should, that would work. Especially if it changed during sex.
Wait, that's actually hilarious because the guys came up with something like a chameleon, but I actually like the idea of kind of like a frog-like alien.
With like little suckers on the end of its fingers.
Oh, no.
An amazing scene to play. So I'd be in bed with someone, then all of a sudden I look and it's a female. That would be amazing.
And you have something else to explain to your mother.
And that would be funny, actually, if Ruthie is the one that outs you, so to speak, where she's like, Allie. And she's like, no, just leave us alone. Allie? No, leave us alone. She's like, there's something I need to tell you. Okay. She's so beautiful.
But, of course, you know that she would have already done it herself.
Well, yeah, because
cat's done it all.
She would have side effect, totally the dog-cat side effect of when they actually have a frog in their mouth and foam.
Yeah. That's so wrong.
Totally.
Well, we have a large gay and lesbian audience for this show, and I know
See, now this is where we're going to get into our weird 6 degrees of separation. And you were on Three Way.
I was, yes.
Which was a lesbian web series that a lot of our listeners loved.
Oh, that's great. I had so much fun on that set. That was a really fun experience. That show was so crazy.
Three-Way. Shad's looking at me like, what? Three-Way with Jill Bennett and...
Oh, that's right!
Wow.
My brain totally ejected that.
She's looking at me like, what? I'm like, we watched that show. What is wrong with you? But you were in the Lady Cops one.
I was. It was so much fun because I got to play one of those scenes that's like a Law and Order scene, you know, where someone gets murdered, but I got to do the really melodramatic, crazy version because it was all just a joke. And it was so much fun. And we did so many different takes of my murder, and it was a really great time. And those women were really fun to work with.
And they, you know, that was out there before a lot of other stuff was. So I got to give kudos to them for that. Because Three Way was out there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, because they were in, I don't even remember what season that was. I feel it was fourth or fifth season, and it was 2 or 3 years ago. So, yeah, they were in the very beginning.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and they have another show now that's using a subscription model called We Have to Stop Now. Jill and Kathy are doing that as well. So.
Oh, wow.
See, it's kind of a weird degree of separation there. Did you see that on your IMDb? I was like, that is so cool because now I remember and I went back and found the episode and I saw you because we do our research here at Institute.
Apparently.
You do. I love it. And, you know, Anna,
well,
by
that's
the way,
how room there,
yeah.
Anyway.
I'll go out and about, and I'll be around town or whatever, and someone will go, so what do you do? And I'll be like, I'm a director. Oh, what have you done recently? And I'll say, oh, date a human. And I swear to you every time, I know Anne. I know Anne. She's amazing. I know Anne.
Yeah, you can totally play 6 Degrees of Anne Griffin. Like,
yeah, you can.
We were at a little film festival, and all of a sudden we were sitting there, and Anne was in one of the shorts. We were like, oh.
You know that one. But, Joy, you did a little short that's on your IMDb page that's hilarious called Vroom Vroom.
Oh, thank you. I love Tess Sweet. She's a wonderful director. Yes, I acted in that, yes.
You were quite special in that.
Yeah, for anyone who's listening, you can go to TessSweet.com and check it out. It's called Vroom Vroom. She's a wonderful director, and what I love about her and... given the opportunity, she makes these incredibly sad characters really funny, I think. And they start so low and down, and then they just have these enormous wins at the end. Because I think there's only a clip from the movie up there, a part of the movie's up there. So it just, she's really close to my heart. I like her a lot. She's going to be a great filmmaker. She's just finishing up UCLA right now in her master's degree.
But you're still acting. You're still acting actively in a lot of stuff, right? I noticed you have a lot of pre-production on your IMDb page.
Yeah, you know, I am a bit. I'm kind of more focused on directing, but, you know, it's funny because when you put yourself out there, people, you know, it's, you know how this town is sometimes. It's like we're lucky when people can see our work and find us and enjoy it, but a lot of times it's who do I know that's a talented actor that I can have that I have the phone number of that I can call right now, you know? So, you know, oh, Anne, I'll call her right now. So I think a lot of times I'll show up to help on a set and people will be casting something and they'll go, Joy, do you want to do this? You should totally do this. And I'll go, oh, so in order to be an actor in this town, I had to go to film school as a director? Okay, got it. So I feel, you know, and a lot of those things, too, I feel lucky because I don't audition for them. They're usually friends just ask me to do them because they're not anything major. They're like fun little cameos just to come in and be really funny. Except for Tess. Tess and I work on bigger projects together with bigger characters. So.
And you've got a lot going on too. Acting wise,
yeah.
Right?
So I have I have. Four films that are in pre-production right now, and actually I started writing as well. So I've been working on a project with a friend. So, Yeah, I've been very fortunate keeping busy. And I have one film right now that is out in theaters in Texas, which is called Campus Radio, and I have another film that is doing a festival circuit called Gray Skies. And I believe it's going to be in the Shriek Fest in Los Angeles, and we'll be out in Santa Fe at the Santa Fe Film Festival. So I'm pretty excited about that.
And just so you know, I was out last night, and I met the producer of Gray Skies.
Oh.
Because I was like, I'm not going to, I met like, 20 people, but that's my point. That was, who's Data Human? I know Anne. Oh, she's the lead in Grace. Okay. I'm bound and determined to have Anne be a big superstar because she is and she deserves it. She's really talented and she loves acting, and I have very high hopes for her.
Oh, it would be a crime for her not to. She's so talented.
See, now it sounds like you all get along really well, and there was a lot of fun on the set. So let's get down to the nitty-gritty, and what is the funniest story you have from behind the scenes on the set of Data Human?
Oh, God. Ones that we can tell?
I know.
Now, remember, she said funny, not scary, frightening, or death-threatening, right?
I know. That's right where my mind went.
We did have one of our vendors threaten to kill someone because it was, like, raining and he didn't get here in time. Just some crazy vendor. That was weird. But bigger ones. What else? What do you got? Anne, do you have a funny story?
I feel like it involved Alex Stagg. That is my guess. And I'm racking my brain.
I love the outtakes of your photo shoot with Alex Stagg. That was hilarious. Like, he was one super sexy alien.
Is there going to be a blooper that one?
I don't know. For me, I think overall the craziest story is just the fact that it literally was not raining until the day we started shooting. And then it was pouring, and you know it never rains in L.A., never. And it was literally pouring, like our grip and electric were, like pulling things out of the rain and, like, drying it off and putting it in my house. I'm like, what is happening?
Yeah, we had everything set for outside locations, and that all had to be, we just kept checking the weather every day in disbelief, like, it's really going to rain. Like, oh, my God.
We literally got most of our locations, kudos to Kim and Lauren, literally the day we shot in my house the first day, and then all the outsides of the art gallery and the restaurants, we literally got like a day before because we knew all of our other locations we couldn't shoot at. So that was, you know, good producing, just like people begging, like, hi, can we please be
Do you guys have
space?
A reel?
Say again?
Do you have a blooper reel? Do you have your outtakes?
Do we? I don't think we. I'm sure we do, but I don't think we have them together. We have to look through them. We don't have them together, do we, Kim?
We don't, but we could. We should put one together.
I know. That'd be
you know you're going to have the inevitable DVD once you go to TV. See, that's how that works.
Extra
that would be amazing.
You know, one of my favorite times on set was probably when Chad's eyeball falls into the drink, and I think, Joy, it was like 20 minutes of you, and it was so frenetic trying to get that eyeball to face out and face the camera and just watching you drop that eyeball in for about 20 minutes straight, and it kept, like, floating the wrong way, and it was just really funny because, like, you know, there's always the pressure of time, and there are a million things going on, and it was so funny when Joy would get particular and be like, no, I have to see the color of the eyeball. I have to see. Very amusing.
Especially when you have to be out of that location like at 5.
How many times did everybody bust into laughter and have to reshoot something or have another take?
I think that happened probably quite a few times, but I don't know.
Every take in the gallery, I'd say every single take in the gallery, we had to, that would happen. Because it was Alex.
That's from my favorite episode, episode 3.
Alex just always goes, ooh, oh, yes. And you're like, who are you, crazy person?
Or
I don't know how anyone gets through that episode without killing themselves laughing, because he was just perfect.
You two are so lovely. I just want to take you everywhere I go. I'm just going to, especially home to my family. Like, everything was amazing.
I
did you hear that, Mom and Dad?
I was happy to call you and tell how great the show is.
Aw.
As long as you keep us updated on what's happening with season two.
We will. We will for sure do that. I'm excited to know myself. I know Babblegum wants to have a season two, barring a sale to TV. So that's the good news. So there will be a season something.
There will be a season someday?
Yeah, something. Season something. Like a new season one on TV or a season two on the Internet.
Right. Well, hopefully there wouldn't be. I mean, I know they'd probably have you reshoot season one, but I'd hope they'd let you keep almost everybody that you already have, if not everybody that you have.
Keep the series, you mean?
No, I would want them to let you keep the cast and everybody involved.
Oh, I pray. I pray for that. You know, and I think it really depends on who pick, you know, in terms of television, it gets so crazy. It's like who, I mean, I don't know. Have you had, forgive me, have you had people who on who've sold, I mean, I know like Mark Gant and those folks and things. I mean, everybody deals with kind of the, I want, you know, I really pray that they would. I feel like, look, we did this work. Everybody, the chemistry is amazing. Like, I love Anne and Brooke, and it would break my heart. So, like, I really hope, you know, I hope for the best, you know, and I feel good energy around the
because
project.
You have interest, right? I mean, that's basically what you're down to. You have interest for television right now.
Yes, that's basically what it comes down to. But it's like you walk in a room and you're just like, please love everybody as much as I love everybody. And, you know, because if you sell it to, like, cable, like FX or USA or something, you have a greater chance of keeping most, you know, more of your team together. Whereas if you sell it to NBC or something like that, you're at risk of them being like, you know who should play Allie? Reese Witherspoon, you know, and you're like, oh.
Exactly, exactly. Well, maybe, I would think that Central, if it was Comedy Central, would be more lenient or be able to lean more towards you guys keeping your cast and crew the way they are.
You would hope,
You would hope, and Comedy Central is actually, I do have to give them a shout-out. They are fantastic at keeping what they call their point of view intact, like keeping the cast and the people that created it, like really continuing to put their point of view out into the world, which I think is amazing. So, well, I mean, we'll see. I mean, who knows, you know. What I can hope for is to just keep doing this because I genuinely do love the show so much and everybody that I work with. So I feel, you know, I feel at risk.
And it wouldn't necessarily be a bad thing to stay with Babblegum. I mean, they've been really great with you guys. I know Amber's been really supportive of the show.
Oh, Amber J is just amazing. She's an absolute star. She just is always talking about the show and talking us up. She's great.
Yeah, they've been wonderful. They've been so supportive.
Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Pardon?
No, you're
right. Oh, yeah. And you can tell they're supportive very much behind the show and what you were trying to do and that they think it's funny and they're pushing it. And that helps because you're not really opposed to staying online as long as you have, you know, a budget for your show, such as whatever it is if you stay online. How has the monetization of your show gone? How does that work for you?
Well, you know, the Internet, as you know, and if you, I would probably ask you guys the same question from all the interviews that you've done. I mean, it's still kind of defining itself, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, a lot of what we, you know, with Babblegum, for instance, and everyone's different. Sometimes it's a buyout, sometimes it's a profit share. And so the monetization right now is, you know, fairly non-existent in most of the Internet world, I would say, with the exception of, I mean, I don't know. I don't know who's actually making a lot of money doing it. I'm personally still learning. For Babblegum, if we were to do it again, I think we might be able to get sponsorship. But I think it's, you know, I don't really have an answer to that question in terms of, other than to say we've been, you know, we kind of do the show for Babblegum. They pay us to do it. That's the way Babblegum works.
Mm-hmm.
And then if it gets sold somewhere, then perhaps we'll share in the
monetization of it, but more than anything else, what we hope is that if it gets sold to TV, that I'll get an opportunity to direct, the writers will get an opportunity to write, get paid for that, the actors to act, get paid for that, because there's really no, you know, there's not too many proven models. I'm curious to see, you know, how the other, you know, what other people are getting from it. I think this is the first kind of, like, season, like, we have We Need Girlfriends got bought, and, you know, that Twitter thing, the... Mm-hmm. And my dad says and stuff. So, you know, I'll probably look at those and study those and see how they're going to make money. But
well, and you've got right. Hospital, and you've got, you know, Legend of Neil was shown on Comedy Central. Johnny B. Homeless was there. Lisa Kudrow's show has been picked up. It'll be interesting to see what happens with these shows and how many more seasons The Guild does, because they're kind of the perfect storm, mm-hmm. I think.
Yeah, and where it goes. Oopsies.
Go ahead.
You there? Sorry, you there?
Yeah.
No.
We didn't lose you.
Hello.
Yep, we didn't lose you. You're still there.
Okay, good. Shout out to the iPhone G4 not working in my house.
Put it in your room.
What's that?
Don't put it in your left hand.
Put it in your left hand.
Don't put it in my left hand, or put it in my left hand.
Whichever one doesn't work, don't put it there.
Okay. I've had it in my left hand the whole conversation. Now it's in my right hand. Let's see if that works better. I mean, all those people actually have a model, but you know how, like everybody else, you can pretty much ask general, you know, John Q. Public, and they'll be like, oh, yeah, I know the model for that, for filmmaking. It's, you know, the investors do this, it's 100%, and 10% tax, and 50-50 split. Like, I don't, you know, I still don't know. Do you? I mean, because I would love to know that. Like, once if something gets sold, what is it? You know, what is the deal that people are making?
I'm not sure. I don't think there is a tried-and-true model for new media yet. I think everybody's still trying to figure it out, and there isn't that big breakout show that's gone on to break into mainstream media yet. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, and that's what I'm saying is I think it, this fall, you know, in the fall, those are the shows that are coming from the internet to TV, and we'll see how they do, I guess.
I think it's going to be a wait-and-see thing, and even more so a wait-and-see to find out when the big shift and when advertisers are finally going to start. Is it going to be Apple TV or Google TV or what, or the Boxy Box that's going to make all the advertisers finally get that there is money to be made on the internet if you do it right?
I think Hulu is really close to getting there.
I think I've got issues with Hulu because they're geo-blocked.
Yeah, that's true.
So nobody else
definitely true.
Watch it. Yeah, and it does make a difference because we finally have people now that we know in the States that are getting a taste of what that's like because City TV, Rogers Media here in Canada, is showing the third season of Prom Queen, Chris McCaleb's brilliant show.
Right.
And it's only available on City TV's website, which they do, Rogers Media does in conjunction with The Guru. And it's geo-blocked outside of Canada.
That's so interesting. I mean, I guess I knew that, but that's the way that people are going to want to try to make money because that's how you do it in television, so to speak. If everybody has access, how do you advertise, you know?
It is, and they're geo-blocked as a way to negotiate foreign rights, but I think that is a very traditional television media way of thinking because the internet is global.
Right. It's kind of like porn wins because, like, isn't porn like one of the only things you have to pay for on the internet? Now you have to pay for non-porn programming.
Porn always wins. Porn is never free on the internet.
I want my child to watch My Little Pony. How much is that?
I'm not touching that one. It's with porn.
Yeah, I'm not touching that one either.
Anything
even
the Yeti Fluffer.
That one sounds wrong.
We'll leave it to the Yeti Fluffer.
Yeti Fluffer! He's going on the website.
Totally.
final
Yeti Fluffer gets their own series.
Yeti Fluffer should have their own series. I want a Yeti Fluffer t-shirt.
Oh, my God, we're going to make one tomorrow.
I am a Yeti Fluffer.
Matt, if you're listening to this, we're making a Yeti Fluffer t-shirt. Go, go.
Final question, you guys. What? Two questions. Are there any web series that you guys are addicted to? You know, what web series are you all watching?
I love Lisa Kudrow's web series. I think she's phenomenal. And obviously every guest star she has is great as well.
I personally like We Need Girlfriends. I like it's mm-hmm. kind of like a fun, it's a fun, fresh take for me on the way guys interact with women. I kind of like that. And then I have to say I'm a Bannon Way fan. I mean, I love Mark Gantt. I know him. I've met him recently. He's amazing. And, I just love what he and Jesse did with that. And I'm very impressed. And I do genuinely go, oh, what's happening next? Like, they just, it's so well thought out. And you guys like The Cell, don't you?
I love Cell the series.
Yeah, and I just started watching that, and so I'm starting to get into that, too. And it's oddly enough, you know, it's like I'm a big comedy girl, but I'm really kind of enjoying, like, these cliffhanger dramas. They're, like, really fun.
And I really
watch
like
Compulsion. That's another one you want to see. Compulsions is another one you want to see.
Okay, I'll check it out.
Ooh, that one's scary. I really enjoy We're with the Band.
That's a great show, too.
Like, I just love those girls. I think I love that they just created this. I find them hilarious. And then I have enjoyed World Full of Nothing so far. I'm really into it.
Seriously, was that Dark first episode?
Yeah, and I love Dark.
Kim loves Dark.
That
was my favorite about like
Dark.
But I'm really enjoying that. The Berg, I've watched on and off. I really enjoy.
I love. Oh my God, The Berg was so funny.
Yeah, I think that was one of my first web series, but I was really like, "This is hilarious."
The Berg was really funny.
So yeah, those are probably.
I think you guys fit in with a lot of the comedies you were talking about. We Are with the Band is, yeah, and The Berg was classic. Perfect. Final
yeah.
question, ladies. How would, to any of our listeners who have yet to see Data Human, how would you describe it to them, and what would you say to them to make them watch?
I'm going to go last on that one because I want to see what you guys say.
Not cheating.
I pitched the show. I have my, like, elevator pitch down to a T. It's, like, almost not fair.
Yeah, I mean, it's
okay.
Sort of Sex and the City, Bridget Jones' Diary in the future with a feminist bent. And there's a big Yeti boner.
I can't even compete with Kim's.
I could compete with Kim.
Wait, Kim, no, Anne, what would you say?
I mean, I think what would make me watch it is if you just said it's sci-fi sex. I feel like that's pretty much what it is, and that's what I love about it. So, because I'm a big sci-fi geek, so.
Me too. Yep.
I always say to people, they always say, "Oh, what is it?" And what I always tell them is, I say it's internet interspecies dating 150 years in the future. And there's crazy cocoon sex and yet. I'm adding that now.
And a Yeti boner. Ladies, thank you very much for being a part of the show today.
Thank you so much for having us. You guys are amazing.
You guys were awesome. I needed that laugh today. You have no idea.
Oh, good. You guys are awesome. I've never had such an amazing, like, interview. I mean, you just really watched our show and dug in, and we really appreciate that.
We are big fans of your show, and I hope that you'll keep us updated on what's happening with Season 1 and maybe television and what's happening with possibly Babblegum in Season 2.
Absolutely, absolutely. We'd love to talk to you guys again, too.
Oh, anytime. You are, the
Yay.
Door is open.
Yay.
Thank you so
thank
much.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thanks,
ladies.
And please keep us updated.
You got it.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye, guys. They were
Bye.
Awesome. They were really good. Really good guests. Really funny ladies.
Yeah. Which, you know, now I'm really hoping to see some of the stuff we came up with on the show. Did you know one of them is so, like, I can totally see the roommate coming in wearing Yeti Flubber
right.
as a T-shirt.
I want one of those T-shirts. Seriously.
And the amphibian.
And look at our phone line still all lit up.
Ooh.
Hi, area code 617. You're on with Indie Inner Tube. Who's this?
Hey, this is Matt RK. I'm one of the creators of the show. I just got a voicemail from Kim asking if I wanted to be on the show.
And we just hung up with them.
Yes, yes. So you have no way to verify my story. But I was actually the guy in the Yeti suit, and it was all me,
you
all man.
So you know now that we're all jonesing for I'm a Yeti Fluffer T-shirt.
I know. I'm bright red. I'm very embarrassed by that.
And I take it your experience on...
What's that?
I take it your experience on the show was a positive one.
Oh, my God. Well, you know, I mean, there was so much focus on the boner that I just couldn't... I was just astonished. You know, it was great to be have that much attention and to be in that hot suit for hours at a time. But, yeah, it was super fun. Did they talk about the crab at all? I heard this. I only heard the second half of the show. Did they talk about how much fun the crab was to do?
They did talk about how much fun the crab was to do, and Joe Wilson is listening, and he wanted us to let you know that.
Oh, hey, Joe. Joe's great. Joe is
for listening, the creators of Vampire Mom.
Awesome, awesome. Well, I love you guys' show, and I'm glad that the Data Human's getting some cred from you guys.
Well, you know, we love Data Human, and we love the Yeti, so you're our new favorite guy, and I'm glad that you were able to call in, even if the girls were already gone.
I love that you're calling it a Yeti, too. He does look like a Yeti. He's like a big old abominable snowman. You know, they didn't say it. My favorite joke on set was that we kept telling different people that we were going to have an actual boner, an animatronic one. That it was going to have and we'd tell, like, the costume designer, we're like, well, we really need to get a hole ready for it because there's going to have to be a boner. You know that, right? And then we'd tell, like, the props people, like, can you guys, where are you guys on that? And we just, everybody thought that somebody else was responsible for it at all times. I think I was the first one to start propagating the rumor that it would have teeth, but no one seemed to back me up on that one.
Anna's still busy saying that is not Matt.
And
you will have to back, right?
Say that again.
When we have the girls back on the show, you'll come back and join them too.
Yes, of course, of course. And when season two rolls out, we've got a whole bunch of. Actually, it was funny you were saying you wanted to have more gay characters because. This isn't really a spoiler because it was something we thought of doing and then didn't do, but we were originally going to have butterfly guy at the end of episodes 5 and 6, Leo. We were going to have him, after he went through his metamorphosis, be gay, right? So he's like gay, he's straight when he sleeps with her, and then he comes out of cocoon and he's like all, you know, totally gay, and like she's like, oh, I didn't, he's like, yeah, well, did you know that's how it works? You should really do some research on my species.
I think that would be funny. A gender flip would be really funny.
It was really funny when we wrote it, but then when it happened, when we actually started filming it, it just felt a little gay bashy, you know, like because he comes out and he's like, oh, yes, I feel fabulous. You know, it was just a little weird, you know. So we decided to shy back from it a little bit. But that was going to be a big season two. We'll definitely bring Leo back because he's so much fun. But maybe
you guys
something else.
You said it wasn't funny.
What's that? Yeah, right. We didn't
just, like, cross the line.
Because Yeah, because we, like, saw it. It was, like, funny in the writer's room, and, you know, it didn't feel gay-bashy because we were, like, but it was, like, well, it's the first time we've introduced a gay character, and what it does is completely breaks Allie's heart. Like, do we really want to have that happen?
Yeah.
But exactly. Yeah, we'll think,
you know.
Yeah. For the TV show, maybe we'll have some gender-bendy, flip-floppy, hermaphroditic self-fertilizing characters. It'll be great.
That would be awesome, and that's a hell of a note to end it on.
All right, you guys are great.
Thank you very much for calling in. This was an awesome show all the way around. Have a good night.
You too.
That was awesome, Paul. Doesn't get any better than that.
Oh, he seriously is a cross between, he's like the brainchild of a Yeti and a Wampa.
Right.
If you don't know what a Wampa is, it's the thing from Star Wars. It looks like a Yeti, but it has horns.
My blog talk is refreshing itself. What happened? Matt's very funny, and he was very animated, and I like the idea of a detachable penis.
Animatronic. With teeth.
But lesbians have known about detachable penises for a long time.
I can't believe you just went there.
It's one of those shows. It's one of those days. That's just how it works.
Where's the Yeti fluffer?
Now, as we move towards the close of the show, is Chris McCaleb still in the chat room?
Yes.
That's what I would like to know. If he is in the chat room and listening, we'll wait until we hear a heads
up. He commented a minute ago, oh, Matt Newcomb would like us to say that there's an open casting call for his show.
An open casting call for Hollywood Wasteland?
I believe so. I think I read that correctly. He'll correct me in a moment, I'm sure, if I'm wrong.
Matt Newcomb, if you will send me the information, we will make sure that it gets put up on the Indie InnerTube website and web to watch. That, speaking of geo-blocking, Crackle is now available in Canada. Crackle has been talking about doing that for a very long time. I'm glad to see that they finally have. Chris McCaleb, who says, yes, he is listening right now.
Ooh.
I just wanted you to know, because I haven't said anything about it on the show because I don't want to spoil anybody, and I'm still not going to spoil anybody, but did you really need to end it with a cliffhanger?
Again? Again? Really?
Can I just say that? That finale was killer. For those of you who are in Canada and able to watch Prom Queen on CityTV.com, Shorts in the City, you need to do it. Season 3 is amazing, and the finale was fantastic. And I'm telling you, when those words popped up, written and directed by Chris McCaleb, I wanted to slap him for the cliffhanger.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But the reveal?
Awesome stuff.
And that's all we're going to say?
Awesome sauce.
I was like, what? And I can't say anything on here because it's geo-blocked to the U.S. and I don't want to spoil it.
Don't want to ruin it. Don't ruin it. But Matt just said Hollywood Wasteland is filmed 78% in Hollywood. And it's on Access Access is where they open audition. Or you can just, you know, contact him.
And also, so Chris McCaleb will know this, the other day, before we went on our long Hollywood holiday weekend, I was checking out the most watched videos in Shorts in the City for that week.
Mm-hmm.
And of the top 12 that were on the site that day, 5 of them were things created, written and directed by Chris McCaleb. There were 3 separate episodes of Prom Queen, 1 in the 3rd season, 2 in the original season, and 2 episodes of Sam Has 7 Friends.
Yes.
Which is very impressive. They're popular here right now. And I'm trying to compile all of this stuff and take screen captures of this stuff so I can send it to Chris so that he can see how they're advertising it and how City TV and Rogers Media have gone about advertising this in Canada, but I will tell you that they have, I know I sent Chris some videos the other day that they were using with their Shorts in the City has an iPhone app. And if you look at all of the videos where they've done breakfast television and different things across the country, explaining the iPhone app, every time they do it, they show the City TV website and the placing of Sam Has Seven Friends and the three separate seasons of Prom Queen. And it's very cool. What I'm still trying to obtain, any listeners in Canada, if you happen to have it, is the Shorts in the City television commercial that has aired on City TV television and Rogers Media Television in Canada, and has also aired on the big boards at Toronto Blue Jays games. So if you have video of the Shorts in the City commercial, I would love to have a link to it or a copy of that video. That would be really, really awesome. Yeah, because it just really, and Chris, really, the cliffhanger, really. My big question for Chris McCaleb is, where is season four and when can I see it? Right?
Yeah.
Because I know Shad was over my shoulder when we watched the finale of Prom Queen. It's just like, really?
We had to stop there. Just,
I know, it's kind of the same way we felt of rewatching Data Human. I forgot that it stopped right after stopped when they were still in the cocoon. I forgot there wasn't any more. Kind of feel that way about Central Division as well. And I'm waiting for a new season, and I know it's completed, of Diary of a Single Mom. News. Web series news for the week, before we tell people who our upcoming guests are. Were there any stories that you wanted to talk about this week that's out in your mind?
None that we haven't already mentioned, because other than Pretty.
Pretty the series, guys, really.
MTV doing transmedia, which is nothing new.
No, I think
but
that
they're
was
doing, they're doing it with Savage County.
Which we can't watch.
Do.
Because it's geo-blocked.
A couple others, Western X, if you like sci-fi and you like Westerns, check it out.
Mm-hmm.
Cowgirl Up, to see all
they're
female
They're trying
Western.
To raise money.
Yeah. So, those are a couple of new ones coming out. Other than that, nothing that really crossed the radar. But, well, the kind of, well, speaking of online dating, actually there was one. Because speaking of, you know, Data Human, apparently New York has passed a new online dating safety law where all websites need to put, you know, safety precautions that apparently common sense abiding people don't know.
Are you seeing how cheeky Jeff's being?
Jeff's always.
What about the great debate of the week? Trying to avoid that at all costs. Mainly because I have never bought into the argument that, oh, people need to quit creating derivative bullshit, because all art is derivative, in my opinion. So while there may still be some original ideas out there, most art, let's say all art, most art is derivative.
Yeah, I'm just sitting over here in my head thinking of Happy Yeti Doodle.
Happy Yeti?
To send it to them for Yeti Flubber.
But yeah, I mean, I would, I tried to stay out of that one, but I got drawn into it in smaller pockets of discussion. And I'm glad that we didn't get into the broader discussion, just because I think there were some good points made by everyone. And yes, Kevin McCarthy, we loved Pretty the Series.
Yes. Love it, love it, love it. That's why we're so excited. It premieres November 1st. It's a little bit of a wait, but I'm okay with that.
But yes, I would agree, like Rune just said, aren't most things derivative to some degree? I think all art is derivative to some degree of something.
See, this is such a scary subject because it's like the
politics. And I think there is something to be said for creating community and interactive content around your show. I don't think you absolutely have to have it. I don't think there is any tried and true way of creating something on the internet.
No, there's no...
Especially not when we're using terms like, you know, webisode, which I hate,
oh
internet, and internet television, which I hate. Notice we've here on this show have stopped calling it internet television.
Independent.
Chris McCaleb is saying Barrett clarified what he meant in the podcast, which is awesome. But I will say that I thought there were good points made on both sides.
There are, and but at the same time, there is no structure. There is no
framework.
There
is no structure. I don't think that you can point at anything on YouTube and say this is perfect, or anything in the web series world and say this is perfect. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that web series and YouTube people are so different, nor do I think that they absolutely need to do each other. God, that's awful.
Matt Newcomb has it perfect.
You know.
Matt Newcomb just nailed it on the head. Just make something good that's better than 99% of the other people out there. Just do something good.
Chris McCaleb,
the rest of us can relate
to call web TV. I like calling it independent television.
Yeah, indie TV. You have indie film, why not indie TV?
Because the web is more than just a distribution platform.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not the only way that a lot of these shows are being seen. I like calling it independent television or independent online entertainment. I don't know. And I'm not sure. I mean, I get what you're saying about indie TV. You don't like it because technically most television is indie. I don't look at most television as indie.
No.
Web TV works for me, though, too.
To a degree.
But I would say network television is not indie and cable is not indie. I mean, it may be made by independent companies, but they still have a budget and they still have money, and they're not the same as, you know, Joe Wilson going out and making Vampire Mom. I think it just depends on how you think of it.
Mark, we're still making the Spencer Awards now.
And see, this is why I wanted to stay out of the
discussion,
because I think in a lot of ways, instead of discussing it, I would just rather be out creating content, either working on this show or, you know, creating something else. And I know a lot of the creators feel the same way. But it is, I mean, it does need to be discussed.
It does. I mean, you can't just ignore it and not discuss it. That's not what we're saying. We're not saying that we're not going to get involved with it and just bypass and let everybody else argue it. It's just, you know, we're not going to have it take up time on the show.
Because we want to give the time to content.
Right.
And I think my
and we'll get time
thing
to
about it is that web TV, web television, and anything made strictly and only for distribution online, whether it be a short film or a television series or a comedy or whatever it is, I don't think this space is mature enough yet sometimes to be having this discussion with the seriousness that it was had in some circles.
Yeah.
And that's all I'm going to say about that. Do you have a list of what's upcoming on the show?
Yes, I do, actually. Next week we have Spell Fury.
Yes, Spell Fury. I'm so excited to talk to them about their costuming, too.
Yes. And then after that, we have Spell Fury, and then that's on the 15th. And then the 22nd, we have Misbehave again.
On the 22nd, we have Misbehave again. Can't wait for that one.
Also, during this month, at some point, we'll get more details ironed out sooner rather than later. We will be having auctions. Charity auction for Daytime Stars and Stripes, which will be...
Yes, we are going to have our first small auction and set of interviews at the end of this month.
Mm-hmm.
And included in that auction, I heard from a little birdie, maybe a signed season 2 script of Venice the Series.
Yes.
As well as VIP tickets to Daytime Stars and Stripes.
And one of... this, you really just have to highlight this. There is possibly... because we need to iron out the details before we commit to it, a VIP bowling lane where you get to pick from the list.
Well, that's what I'm talking about when I say the VIP.
From the list of stars who are going to be there, a lot of which are going to be, I believe Jessica's going to be there, Kim Zimmer's going to be there, Liz Kiefer's going to be there, Orla Cassidy's going to be there.
Kim Zimmer.
Yeah.
Jessica Lucia.
All of them will be there, and if you win these tickets, you get to pick one of them or anyone else there, Cassie DePaiva, Bree Williamson, all of them, to bowl with you privately in your lane.
If you need a link to the soap stars that will be attending, Chad will put that up. I believe it's daytimestarsandstrikes.com. And in conjunction with those few items that we're going to be auctioning off before the event, we're also going to be doing live interviews with Liz Kiefer and Jerry Verdorn to talk about the event, as well as, you know, Liz Kiefer just did had a part in season 2 of Venice. And Jerry Verdorn is working with Jessica Lucia from Venice. So it's a very short swim there, guys. So we have that coming up. We have our primetime podcast discussions coming up, which we hope that all of you will get involved in, including the web series creators who call this home on a regular basis on Wednesdays, because we'd like to get your feedback on what the networks are doing and talk about that and talk about how it compares to what web series creators are doing. And I love that we can talk, and will do, Jeff, because we definitely want to get Wilson on as well. We're excited to talk to him. I have so many questions and really, really want to get into monetization and marketing talk with him and how that may change over time and what it's going to take to get advertisers to really pay attention to the space in a much bigger way than they're doing now. Plus, I love the temp life and easy to assemble, and Wilson's a genius. Anyway, thank you all once again for being a part of the show. Please remember that upcoming we have Spell Fury and then Misbehave to talk about season 2. We're also ironing out details with a number of other web series, and we are trying to book right up until the end of the year. So if you have a web series that is coming, if you have a web series that is premiering before the end of the year, if you are wanting to talk about that series, if you are a web series actor and you want to talk about your show, if you even got a show in your head or you've done a show in the past or you have an issue around the shows that you want to talk about, please contact us, static@indieinnertube.tv. And just so Mr. Jeff Koenig knows, because he just said you're going to love our new stuff as well, you are welcome to come on the show anytime.
Definitely. Jeff.
And hopefully, Brendan, who just said book, suck, and moan, those guys are awesome. I would love to book those guys, and I will email those guys this week and get it done. We've also been throwing around some emails back and forth with Robert Sodd from The Ballad of Mary and Ernie.
Yes.
John Beck Hoffman from Tyranny, which I need to get back to him.
He's been filming in the Mayan ruins. So
Dick DeCoit from Desire and Defeat.
Mm-hmm.
And we have tentatively confirmed that the creator of The Bay,
yes,
will be coming on. And you never know who Misbehave is going to bring with them.
Never, ever. It would be great also to do some finale events with any and all creators coming
yes.
up on their season finales.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, hopefully when we're in New York, because we're going to be in New York from the 7th of October until the 12th, we can hook up with the inexhaustible Darren Strauss from Downsize the Series and Digital Chick TV, as well as the broadcast assassin himself while we're in New York. We would like very much to be able to meet
Ninja Monkey.
Yeti Fluffer.
I'm so going to doodle something today and send them out to them. I will totally doodle a happy Yeti face. Based upon their
We have got 90 seconds left in the show, and you know what I wanted to end with?
Uh-oh.
And let me see if I can find it. Phil, Shad, would you?
You have 90 seconds to pull this up.
Oh. It's not going to work, is it?
Probably not.
I'm not going to be able to get it up.
What are you looking for?
Pretty the Series.
I thought you just had it. It's Pretty the Series. The YouTube channel is Pretty the Series.
I know, but I wanted the theme song.
Oh, it's just
Pretty the
Series. Here it is. You have a minute.
I don't think we have enough.
You can do this. It's the end.
I know it's at the end. We're trying to get Pretty the Series and their lovely little theme song for you guys.
Oh, it's a spray tan episode. Seriously, if you have not watched Pretty the Series, go catch up on it because you will so want to be there when they premiere on November 1st.
Yeah, you do not want to miss it when they premiere on November 1st. It is such a good show.
And Stacey
and we're
Queen
so excited to find out
hilarious.
And get out there and follow everybody involved with Data Human.
Of
including
course.
Amber J. Lawson at Babblegum.
Amber. There you go.
That wasn't it.
No.
As long as you don't.
Nope, that's the original trailer. We'll work it out for next week, guys. And remember, speak it, Jerry. Thank you all for coming. A big thanks to Kimberly, Joy, and Ann from datahuman.com. You can watch it on Babblegum. We'll have the link up later, and we'll see you guys and talk to you guys next week.
It's not something that you just jump something on. It's not a big truck. It's a series of tubes.